Morning, church. It's good to be back in His Subang family. It's good to be back in First Baptist Church. Thank you so much, everyone. First of all, before I get into God's word, thank you so much for your well wishes. Thank you so much for your visitations. There were so many visitors coming to our room that the nurses had finally begun to memorize our names, the daughter's name, what does it look like, what does she look like, and what time is the feeding hour, so that they will know what time to send guests up and so on and so forth. So thank you so much for your prayers and visitations. I want to give thanks to God that even the C-section was by God's providence. Because the reason why we went for C-section is because May's blood pressure was a little high and the umbilical cord was twice around the neck and getting quite tight. And so the doctor had suggested we should actually do a C-section. And by God's grace, as we brought baby Noelle into the world, we also realized that she actually pooped inside the womb. And so if she had gone by natural birth, she would have consumed some of the liquid. She would have gotten very sick. So truly, it is by God's providence that the C-section was ordained. And just want to let you know, thank you so much for your prayers. May and the baby are doing well. I have got pinched already by what is it like to be a father of a newborn. Thank you so much, uncles and aunties, for your advice to brace for the lack of sleep. Already at 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning, she's hungry. I praise God that she's not a picky eater. She just eats and eats and eats, but she's hungry. So she just drinks like 2-3 ounces of milk every single time. But as soon as she's done, she goes... So I want to give thanks to God for that. Yeah. Spiritual revival. I want to talk about that. I know this passage may be familiar to quite a number of us because we teach this to Sunday school kids. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on and so forth. And we memorize it and we think that is what spiritual revival is. And then come the 1990s and 2000s where spiritual revival was redefined to something that I must say is quite unbiblical. And so before I begin, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to show you one video and also one picture of what spiritual revival is not. And then we'll get into the text. We'll look at some of the interesting points of the text. And then we're going to go straight into application. And so would you please join me as you come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you thanks so much for this morning. This morning that is made to worship you. Every day our heart calls out to worship you. Father, we thank you that even right now we remember our brothers and sisters in Sabah. 150,000 of them looking up to you and saying, "Dear Lord, deliver us. Dear Lord, save us. But dear Lord, we trust in you." Our enemies may have money and resources, but God, we have you. And so we remember you, O God. We remember you. The sovereign God that beckons us to worship you. And so, Lord, as we talk about spiritual revival, we ask even right now, O God, that your Holy Spirit will continue to open our hearts and to teach us what really is it that you're doing in our lives, working in our lives. And so, God, we pray as we get into your word, we approach it humbly. Father, we pray that you will bless your servant, bless him, O God, that it not be his wisdom, that it be your wisdom and your wisdom and your words alone speaking to us this morning, convicting our hearts and calling the church to transform society, transform this world, to come back to you. Thank you so much, O God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the first thing that spiritual revival is not. Who's first? No. That's not spiritual revival. And I will say it to you in your face, that is a show. There is no blessing that comes off the sweat that was on that speaker's jacket. That is not spiritual revival. But oftentimes we take the drama, the excitement to run forward, to get any kind of blessing. Maybe to be pushed backwards onto the floor. Maybe to be touched over us and then suddenly laugh and cackle until we cannot breathe anymore. Or it may be even something like this. And this is going on a regular basis, people. While we are worshiping the one true God here this Sunday morning, in 12 hours' time at 10 o'clock in the morning, that gentleman is going to have another service. Never mind that he had an affair. Never mind that he's actually taking billions of dollars from the ministry for his own personal gain. Never mind that he has real estate and 5 bungalows in very, very prominent areas in the United States. That is not spiritual revival. And a bit more closer to home, I'd like to say this. Spiritual revival is not just the excitement of running over to the front and asking, "Pastor, please pray for me." Yes, that's a vital role. It's a very important role. I myself, that was the beginning of my revival. That's the beginning of my journey. I was 16 years old. Some of you may think, "Oh, you have been a Christian ever since you were born because you were born with a pastor as your father." No. No, no, no. In fact, I hated God. When I was 13 years old, I didn't want any part of the church. You know why? Because I'm always Pastor Dr. Tan's son. "You pastor son, ma, I thought you know better. You pastor son, ma, help clean the chairs. You pastor son, ma, help do this." I'm like, I'm sick and tired of being pastor son. Friends call me Mark, you know? And so I hated God. I ran away. But it was that one time when I realized that if Jesus is the one true God, He is everything worth living for. And a pastor at that time spoke into my life. And on Easter Sunday, I ran to the front. I cried so hard until people thought I was getting a heart attack. Because I realized, Jesus, you're the one true Lord. You're the one true God. Jesus, you are worth living for. That is the beginning of our spiritual journey. But that in itself is not spiritual revival. Friends, if you come here every Sunday to be prayed over again and again and again, but there's no change in that life, that's not spiritual revival. And some of you may think that people come over here to receive the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. No. Friends, I want to say this very, very light, very, very clear. The Holy Spirit is in you when you confess Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is in you the moment you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul speaks it very clearly in 1 Corinthians. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So friends, I'm not talking anymore about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have done that. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I say to you now that the Holy Spirit is with you and in you right now, changing hearts, changing minds, causing our hands to serve and cause our feet to breathe. That we begin with God. What therefore is spiritual revival? In fact, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 also says this as well. It says this, "The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" This is what it means. "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." If you take Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith, Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. So what I want to talk about is spiritual revival is the journey that is in your heart. What I want to talk about spiritual revival is that when you come, and we welcome you to come, we have lady ministers here for women who prefers to hear and be consoled by a fellow lady. We have pastors and elders. You'll be more than happy to pray for you. But our hope is for spiritual revival to commence and continue and to blossom, so that you may become a disciple of Jesus. Spiritual revival is not something that happens one shot. It's a continuous effort that happens in our hearts. So the first point I want to just say this. Spiritual revival is a way of life. First point, spiritual revival is a way of life. There's the text that was just read. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Okay? If you have that word, walk by the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit is this very interesting word called peripatete. Peripatete basically means is to make one's way or progress, to make due use of opportunities. So it means, for the Greek is this, you're on a journey, you're in a process of doing something. As you progress towards that goal, as you progress towards achieving that, achieving something, that is peripatete. So walk with the Spirit. Okay, that's fair. The Hebrew, when they read peripatete, they are reading also a Hebrew culture in their life, in their mind, to say that it is not just achieve a goal. No, it is a life journey. And so for Hebrew, it means to live. It means to regulate one's life. It means to conduct oneself. It means to pass one's life. Meaning it is to go through life together, hand in hand with the Spirit. And so we will normally see in the RSV, in the ESV, in the HCSB, in the NIV, it says walk by the Spirit. A literal translation from the Greek. We also see a more dynamic one, for example, the older NIV and the NRSV, live by the Spirit. Because that what is wanting to capture. And so, guys, if spiritual revival is a way of life, I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. Baokaleo put everything. Here's what it says. It says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the, in case you don't know, Holy Spirit, not evil spirits. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Friends, spiritual revival is a way of life. It's a continuous journey. And so, guys, you are spiritually revived if you prioritize God. How can we tell that the Holy Spirit is working in you? Friends, you are spiritually revived if you prioritize God. It says here, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Matthew Henry uses this illustration very frequently. He says this, if you walk and prioritize hand in hand with God, you're on a journey in a world that is against you, like a man that is on a boat that is going up river. The moment you pause and stop and think that you're done, no, you go back down again. Okay? For those who have been rafting or kayaking against the flow, you know exactly what I mean. The moment you pause, that 2 hours of work going up, 20 meters up the river, disappears in 10 seconds, 20 seconds, depending on how fast the undercurrent is. Same thing when it comes to spiritual, to our spiritual revival. As we continue to be discipled by Jesus, as we continue to walk and live habitually with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to change our lives, allowing Him to speak into our decisions, in order for Him to revive the way we look at things in our lives, so we know what is God's priority, so that His will on earth will be fulfilled as it is in heaven. When that happens, we are going against the flow. Just two days ago, United States of America, they redefined marriage to now include homosexual marriages in the state. Now the state's definition is any union may be heterosexual, homosexual. If we prioritize God, then against the flow of society today, we will say marriage is by one man and one woman as ordained by God. It's against the flow. And if we let that go, it will go down again that river. And we'll go back to whence we were, which is in the pit of sin. A waterfall, we might get into a waterfall that will hit us so hard, we might not be able to get up. But thanks be to God, you prioritize God, that means the Holy Spirit is working in you. And working with you. I'm asking you to continuously work with Him. I'm asking you to continuously let Him change your heart. And make the effort to go up forward. prioritize God. Spiritual revival is an ongoing journey. You are spiritually revived. You prioritize God. Next thing we'll see in the text is this. Is that spiritual revival is getting rid of every form of idolatry. Now, Paul and his grammar is very spot on. And so the first thing we will see is this. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Basically, Paul is already, he's drawing a line. Walk by the spirit. As you walk by the spirit, you will not go, you will not